DW.
The forced disappearances in Mexico that we just heard about are just one humanitarian crisis among many in Latin America. And these crises are generally what make it into English news across the globe. But how accurate is this image of Central and South America? Joining me now in the studio to talk about this is Jennifer Camino Gonzalez. Jennifer works with DW's English News Service. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So let's just start by talking about your background. You're originally from South America.
Yes, I was born in Venezuela, and I was there till I was about 14, and then I moved to the United States. And so essentially, I've lived half of my life there and half of my life in the U.S. And so, yeah, and now I'm here in Germany, of course. And so, yeah, Latin America is my focus, and then, of course, the United States as well.
So speaking of Latin America, I want to play a clip of some typical news coverage about that region in English.
Last year was the deadliest year on record for Mexico. Drug-related violence has infiltrated all parts of society.
Bolivia has long been one of the poorest countries in the region. It's difficult to know accurately how many children in La Paz don't attend.
It's been called the most dangerous place on earth to be a woman. We bring you to Honduras to investigate femicide.
This is the chaos and violence in Venezuela. There are protesters along the country's border with Colombia, who've stolen a red city bus. They've set that bus on fire to express their outrage.
The thousands of Central American migrants currently making their way through the country.
So when you hear headlines like that as a journalist from South America, what's your first reaction?
Well, I'm kind of tired. You know, it's a bit of an exhaustion because it's always the same thing. It's always violence and poverty. And yeah, these things are real and they are happening. But I think they may be a bit overblown because this is a region that is also quite peaceful. And it actually in development, it has gone far. It actually boasts the most democracies, I would say, except with, of course, two exceptions.
So do you think that U.S. media and U.K. media, which are both some of the most influential in the world, do you think they're mis-explaining Latin America?
In a way, and I understand that, of course, it's more interesting to read about burning buses and protests than things like the peace accords in Colombia, for example, which was the biggest news in Colombia in the last 5 years. A country that had a conflict for 50 years and ended it peacefully with a negotiation that led to the biggest insurgency in the region to drop all its arms. And that's huge. But of course, you know, that falls by the wayside. And many Colombian friends that I have also complain about that. Colombia doesn't have as much of a drug problem as it used to, for example. People still associate Colombia with drugs. And so that is sort of disappointing for the people in the region.
Well, switching the focus a little bit, you're a native speaker of Spanish and you cover Latin America, which is a huge continent. And the fact that they all, except for Brazil, use the same language, seems to bring with it the expectation that you should somehow magically know about everything that's going on in every country. So what is it like having to cover such a huge region?
Well, this is one of the biggest misconceptions. People always, especially in the United States, because, you know, when Latin Americans come to the U.S., they immediately are categorized in this Latino category or Hispanic category. But people forget that we are separate countries. Every country is different, even though we share a common language, a common religion, and sort of a common history of colonialism. Every country has a different history and a different story of how it came about, a different ethnic composition. And so I think it's even hard for us. You know, we're kind of such a vast continent that we don't talk to each other as much. We also, and this is really critical, we don't visit each other's countries.
Going back to the initial question of coverage, even when we're talking about Spanish coverage, I mean, we both have worked with the news at Deutsche Welle, and we rely on agencies. And even in Spanish, breadth of coverage compared to what we get in English through Reuters and Associated Press and AFP, etc., seems to be much more limited.
For sure.
So why is that? Because I'm thinking, even if you did speak Spanish, you still have a lack of information. So why is that?
We only have one agency, and that's EFE. And that's crazy. So when I'm looking for stories in the Spanish wires, I have EFE, which is very, very good, of course. But EFE is Spain-based. So EFE will give us, you know, a lot more Spanish news and then Latin American news.
So am I correct in thinking that there's just a low number of journalists across the continent in general and
I think that there are a lot of journalists, but they're all very localized. So the journalists, the media markets are very, very country by country. We don't have, actually, if you think about it, we do not have a Latin America-wide network of any kind. Every country has their own media market and their own newspapers.
Well, I want to get to that point in the next clip. We've just heard a report about Mexican families who are searching for their loved ones who say they've been disappeared by the military. And this clip is of the protagonist of that story who's looking for her husband.
I remember that when I first started with this, I met with the prosecutor and he told me to go to the scene of the crime, talk to the people there, see what they tell you, and then come back and tell me. I was like, what? You want me to do your job? He wanted everything done for him and left there on his desk. It's always been like that.
What struck me about that clip was, you know, speaking of a weakened media, I was just wondering, would she have given that quote to a journalist in her own country? Is it common to hear somebody criticizing officials or authorities? And that was in Mexico, just as an example.
She could have. But again, the problem with Mexico, and Mexico is a good point here. Mexico has an issue with violence against journalists. I cover this a lot in the news, that always there's some sort of assassination of a journalist. And the journalist was at a cafe and somebody came in and shot him or her because of negative coverage. And it's not the state that is doing it, but it's just the state is not able to protect the journalists in Latin America and many, many places, and especially in Mexico. This is a real problem right now. So that also hinders the work, because that means that as a if you want to be a journalist, and it's a deadly profession, you are less likely to go into that.
Mm. Another thing I was wondering about, speaking of things that hinder journalists' work, is the fact that English media, so US media, UK media, is so influential in the world. And there's a huge poverty gap throughout Central and South America. And I would guess if anybody speaks English in any of those countries, it's probably people who are richer.
Yes.
And they might also be the people who are relying on the media in some way. So does English coverage influence Latin American coverage of itself at all?
That is a very good question. Well, we have to start with the fact that the region is largely monolingual. The amount of people that learn English, I would put it at 10%. Yeah, and so most people, the vast majority of people, don't even know what is being talked about then. But right now in Venezuela, we are getting a lot of coverage. And I just saw something that was very interesting, which was one of my cousins, she posted on Facebook a picture of all these different newspapers around the world. And like they had Venezuela on the front page and what it said. And many of it was translated in the post. And that was critical, because it was exactly what you were saying. It was people in Venezuela seeing themselves through the coverage of the international media. But again, this was somebody who spoke English. And so it's very, very important to speak English to be able to know what's being talked about you. And so I would say the vast majority of people don't know, don't know.
Well, another huge topic has obviously been the migrant caravans.
Yes.
And we're running a report right after this about migrant caravans. And it's by a journalist named Andreas Buca, who was reporting from Guatemala. And this is what he had to say about the international coverage of this topic. And I should say the clip is presented by our colleague Helen Sweeney, because it was translated.
The first two migrant caravans set off from Honduras late last year, making headlines around the world. Before the second caravan of over 2,000 people had even arrived at the US border, the international media had shifted its attention to other crises around the world. But more caravans were already coming together in Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala.
So were those continued, did journalists continue to cover those in Spanish?
This is the topic right now, aside from obviously the difficulties that they're having and the political situation, because imagine vast numbers of their people are moving to the United States. They're going through this very, very difficult trek. And then when they get there, they send money back to their communities. And so there is already an exchange between the United States and Central America happening, Central American countries, happening. And so that is a hot topic for them, of course.
Well, I mean, in the U.S. media, it tends to break down into one of two categories, either people who are afraid of an immigrant invasion, which is something that President Trump has spoken of a lot. There's also kind of a category that takes a more humanitarian approach and expresses a lot of concern and tries to draw attention to the dangers But is there then a third opinion coming from the countries where that people are leaving, like a sympathy, or is it, does it break down to the latter category, the humanitarian category?
Well, this is tricky because remember, this caravan is coming from Honduras, El Salvador through Mexico. And we don't hear a lot about how Mexicans feel about this. And yes, there are there's a subset of the Mexican population that's very receptive and you know, sort of happy to help. But Mexico has its own struggles too. Mexico's a country that also has problems. And so we have to obviously check the coverage, but that is the coverage that you have to check in Spanish and in Mexico because this is not talked about in the United States. What does Mexico think about this caravan going through? This question has not been answered, but it's complicated. I think many people in Mexico don't like it either because they think, well, this is sapping our resources from our poor people. And so that is sort of a thing that is not explored exactly. And it happens in Latin America, actually, sorry, in South America, it's happening with Venezuela. You're seeing that this caravan of migrants, 3 million people have fled, most of them to South America, through South America. And in the Spanish language media of those countries, a lot of xenophobia, a lot of reports about how this is bad for their countries. And so that is also not talked about too much in the international news.
Well, you mentioned that Miami and LA are kind of at the forefront of getting better coverage because they have a high number of native Spanish speakers. But I have to admit, that's still, I don't see the crossover so much there. Granted, I would maybe have to pay as close attention as you do. But still, do you think that there will be a better crossover in the future?
Yes, because remember that the migration, when people go to a new country, the migrants, as me, for example, people like me, you know, who are immigrants. We have our native tongue, that is our language, Spanish, right? But our children are not going to be native Spanish speakers. They're going to be bilingual, but their native language will be English if they're born in the United States. In Miami, the Miami Herald has its El Nuevo Herald, which is the Spanish language version, and it's its own paper, and then it has the Miami Herald. But the Miami Herald covers just as much as the Nuevo Herald because the sons and daughters of migrants are interested in Latin America, and they want to read it, but they would rather read it in English. So that is where I think the difference will be made. Because as more generations stay in the United States and have this historical tie to the region, but you know they don't speak Spanish as well as their parents, and so this is where the gap can be abridged.
Jennifer Camino Gonzalez is a reporter with DW's English News Service. She joined us in our studio in Bonn, Germany. Jennifer, it was a pleasure having you on the show.
Same, thank you.
DW.